There is much of you that is both shadow and light. It grows in deep forests, and is rare because only skilled folk can tend one without harming it. It has a wondrous smell, and is much sought, and seldom found. I paused and made a point of examining her. Yeah, since I am forced to pick, I would choose Celeste. She looked at me, looked away. You think too much of me. I smiled. Perhaps you think too little of yourself. She caught a piece of my smile and shone it back at me.
You were close to earlier in your list. Daisies, simple and sweet. Daisies are the way to win my heart.
I will remember it. We started walking again.
What flower would you bring me?
I teased, thinking to catch her off guard.
A willow blossom,
she said without a second's hesitation. I thought for a long minute.
Do willows have blossoms?
She looked up and to the side, thinking,
I don't think so.
A rare treat to be given one, then, I chuckled. Why a willow blossom?
You remind me of a willow,
she said easily.
Strong, deep-rooted and hidden. You move easily when the storm comes, but never farther than you wish.
I lifted my hands as if fending off a blow.
Cease these sweet words, I protested. You seek to bend me to your will, but it will not work. Your flattery is naught to me but wind.
She watched me for a moment as if to make sure my tirade was complete.
Beyond all other trees,
she said with a curl of a smile on her elegant mouth.
The willow moves to the wind's desire.
The stars told me 5 hours had passed, but it seemed hardly any time at all before we came to the oaken oar where she was staying in Imre. At the doorway there was a moment that lasted for an hour as I considered kissing her. I had been tempted by the thought a dozen times on the road as we talked. When we paused on Stonebridge to watch the river in the moonlight, underneath a linden tree in one of Imre's parks. At those times, I felt a tension building between us, something almost tangible. When she looked sideways at me with her secret smile, the tilt of her head, the way she almost faced me, made me think she must be hoping for me to do something. Put my arm around her, kiss her. How did one know? How could I be certain? I couldn't, so I resisted the pull of her. I did not want to presume too much, did not want to offend her or embarrass myself. What's more, Diok's warning had made me uncertain. Perhaps what I felt was nothing more than Denna's natural charm, her charisma. Like all boys of my age, I was an idiot when it came to women. The difference between me and the others is that I was painfully aware of my ignorance, while others, like Simon, bumbled around, making asses of themselves with their clumsy courting. I could think of nothing worse than making some unwelcome advance toward Denna, and having her laugh at the awkwardness of my attempt. I hate nothing more than doing things badly. So I made my goodbyes, and watched her enter the side door of the oaken oar. I took a deep breath, and could hardly keep from laughing or dancing about. I was so full of her. The smell of the wind through her hair, the sound of her voice, the way the moonlight cast shadows across her face. Then slowly, my feet settled to the ground. Before I had taken 6 steps, I sagged like a sail when the wind fades. As I walked back through the town, past sleeping houses and dark inns, my mood swung from elation to doubt. In the space of 3 brief breaths, I had ruined everything. All the things I had said, things that seemed so clever at the time, were in fact the worst things a fool could say. Even now she was inside, breathing a sigh of relief to finally be rid of me. But she had smiled, had laughed. She hadn't remembered our first meeting on the road from Tarbin. I couldn't have made that much of an impression on her. steal me, she had said. I should have been bolder and kissed her at the end. I should have been more cautious. I had talked too much. I had said too little.